It's Thursday, the day when we dip into the All Things Considered email bag for a selection of your comments. Our interview noting basketball star Kobe Bryant's rewriting of the NBA record book last week, he scored 12 three-pointers, failed to provide some basic information. That's according to Eric Thiel in Ashland, Oregon, who offered to correct the situation.
Despite making 12 three-point shots during the game, how many did he shoot? How many did he miss?
Answer, Mr. Thiel says, 18 shots taken, 6 missed.
How many points did he finish the game with?
Answer, 45.
Did the Lakers win the game?
Yes, 119-98 over the Seattle Sonics.
And what was the old record for three-pointers in a game?
Answer, 11 by Dennis Scott in 1996.
Eric Thiel concludes, NPR doesn't delve into the sports world often, I realize. When it does, there should be no difference in the quality of reporting. This could and should have been done much better.
Our commentary from Lieutenant Ken Harbaugh, an instructor at the Citadel, moved several listeners to write, one of them a Marine currently deployed in Okinawa, Japan. I have done 14 years in the Corps, Jeffrey Lafferty writes, and there was a time when I thought that I wanted to go to war, that war was the chance to prove myself. Well, after a few years, some experience and maturity, I realized that no one should want to go to war. No one should want to kill. However, when called to do so, we will go, and we will kill. That is the fact of military service. The one thought that motivates me is that I want to return home to my family, and in order to do that, I must do my job as efficiently as I can. I don't relish the thought, but it is reality. These are the things I try to impress upon my Marines.
A different view came from John Maruskin of Winchester, Kentucky. He found the commentary moving but not convincing. It was a startling example of the fantastic disconnect these days between Americans' beliefs and actions. If Instructor Harbaugh truly abhorred the consequences of combat violence, he would teach peace. It is always a dangerous mistake to commiserate with apologists for violence.
John Byrd of Reston, Virginia, took umbrage at our story regarding the crossover audience that opera companies are finding among fans of punk rock. Comparing Wagner to the Sex Pistols is akin to likening Einstein to a worm on the grounds that each is the member of a species that both consumes and defecates. Mr. Byrd goes on, more to the point, the technical complexity and musical achievement of opera demands that listeners reach, grow, learn, evolve, whereas punk, metal, and its ilk seem to be mainly about employing a regressive emotional infantilism in the service of human debasement, to suggest that there is some sort of parity between the greatest artistic achievements of Western civilization and the exploitive, explicitly commercial rants of no talents with attitude is to add bumbling weight to the downslide of civilization already underway.
On the other hand, at least two of our listeners are proud to be among the crossover audience we described. I am so glad to know that my husband and I aren't the only two punk rock fans out there who also attend and love the opera, writes Lorraine DeSalvo, a tax attorney in Atlanta. Ms. DeSalvo notes that while I left my blue hair and spiked bracelets behind in the 1980s, I still love and normally listen to punk rock music bands. I also adore opera and have been a season ticket holder at the Atlanta Opera for about 5 years now. I have often wondered how my stereo was able to avoid exploding after switching from Don Giovanni to the Offspring Smash or some similar combination, but I know that both types of music stir me more than most other forms.
You may screech or sing at us via email. You can reach us at atc@npr.org. And be sure to let us know where you're writing from and how to properly pronounce your name.